Hello, and welcome to episode 143 of Speak Beastie for January 23rd, 2022.
I'm Anne.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Marilyn.
And I'm Shannon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is a new year, isn't it? I've gotten to the point where I can write it down now, and I don't write 2021 anymore. Like, I write the year correctly, but somehow it doesn't quite feel like a whole new year has started just yet.
And it takes about a month. I just realized that our listeners already got an episode this year, so...
They did, yeah. Their first episode of 2022 dropped last week as of time recording.
I wasn't there, so...
That's true, so it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Were any of us on that one?
I was. And Marjolaine, you were, right?
I think so, yes.
Well, okay. Marjolaine is on every episode, and rightly so.
Yes. I mean, honestly, like, time has become meaningless over the last 2 years, so I don't... We might have recorded a new episode. We might have recorded no new episode since 2020. I don't know.
I remembered something I was going to tell you guys about the other night. I had a dream that I saw the movie.
What happened? Was it amazing?
Imelda Staunton and Emma Thompson were in it.
Plot twist.
In like really cool matching pink ball gowns.
Go on.
And then they transformed into the evil stepsisters from Cinderella.
Okay.
And I think there's some potential there for the two of them to play older versions of the evil stepsisters from Cinderella in like a movie about them.
Oh, totally.
Better than them doing yet another remake of Cinderella.
Yeah. And then everyone got turned into teenagers.
Oh my God, so then it became a high school AU?
Yeah, basically.
Now you are talking my language.
Actually, it was more like... They were still just doing adventures and stuff, but they were all teenagers. But young teenagers, like 13.
Imagine a teenager trying to act as if they are Imelda Staunton, who is trying to act as if she is an evil stepsister.
One of them was definitely that woman whose name I can't remember who plays evil stepsisters all the time.
Oh, what's her face? From the live-action remake, right?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to
Holiday, look Holiday Granger, right?
Holiday Granger, that's a name. That's a name.
I'm pretty sure that's her name. Because she has done, she has played like an evil stepsister in like three different movie adaptations.
Holiday Granger sounds like a fan fiction where Hermione does that thing people do in fan fiction all the time where they go on summer vacation to America and then they come back for their next year at Hogwarts and they got hot, you know?
Okay, Holiday Granger did play a stepsister, but it's Lucy Punch who I'm thinking of.
Lucy Punch, that's right.
Who was in Ella Enchanted and Into the Woods.
That's right.
And another one, I swear.
That's still a good name, Lucy Punch.
Oh, yeah.
I like
both
it.
Of them. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so.
So that's the movie, and podcast over.
That sounds phenomenal. If that doesn't happen, if we don't get like the Fantastic Beasts High School AU,
I'm sure there's plenty of fan fictions, so we can tide ourselves over.
Excellent. All right. Well, speaking of people who we do not want to Lucy Punch, this episode is sponsored by Speak Beastie Patreon supporter Colleen S. Thank you so much for your support. We love you. We couldn't do the show without you.
Is that my sister?
I think it is. I was looking at it. I was like, is that Shannon's sister?
It must be.
Well, thanks, Shannon's sister. We love you. We couldn't do the show without you.
So it's time for Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind the scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
And this time we don't have a lot of news, but actually some countries confirmed their release date for the movie, and so I thought it would be useful to have an update about all the release dates around the world, because that's a bit of a mess.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, around the world we have at least 5 different dates. So yeah, between 2 weeks. So the first group, the lucky ones, will have the movie on April 7th, and it's Australia, Germany, Denmark, New Zealand, Portugal, and Spain. So it sounds a bit random to have this group.
Yeah, I was wondering, what exactly do those countries have in common, if anything?
Nothing. That's, yeah. But I'm happy for Australia and New Zealand, because usually they have movies later, so...
Yeah.
And the day after, in April 8th, we will have Spain again. So no, it doesn't work. I don't know Spain. I don't know Spain if it will be April 7th or 8th, sorry. But we have the UK, Japan, and Sweden. So again,
sure,
quite random. And the rest of the world will have the movie 1 week later, between April 13 and April 15. So, yeah, it depends of the date of, because every, I know in France, all our movie came out on Wednesday, so that's why we will have on April 13, but in the US, it's on Friday, so you will have on April 15, but yeah, it's...
But we'll probably actually have it the evening before.
Yeah, it'll probably be released on the 14th.
That's how movies work right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies and release dates, I have a question, because I heard this. I think it was another podcast I was listening to the other day. Oh, it was a movie podcast that my friend hosts about movies. They mentioned that the Marvel film Morbius was pushed. It was supposed to have come out, I think, this month, but it's being pushed to April. And they actually wondered if that was going to affect the release dates of any other movies coming out in April, like... Secrets of Dumbledore.
I don't think
Secrets
so, because
Secrets of Morbius is being pushed to April 1st.
Okay. Because Marvel pushed every other movies they had planned in spring later in 22. So I don't, the release schedule is pretty open for the Warner Bros. Movies, so I don't think it will change something.
Well, I hope not, because we've waited long enough.
Can you imagine if they were, WB was like, we're threatened by this Sony film about a minor Spider-Man villain.
No, yeah.
We're going to bump this back to July again.
No, I don't think so, because originally the Disney release dates, our movie Fantastic Beasts was supposed to be just between Doctor Strange and... Four, something like that, and in the end, both of these movies will come out later in the summer, I think, or something like that. So we are more open with this new release schedule. So
yeah, not like also there's so few movies that are being released in theaters that I don't think they're gonna want to move things around anymore.
No. Yeah, I mean, okay. At this point, you
that
just
makes
have
me
to...
feel better.
You just have to let your movie come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides, I'm sure this will all be over by April, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I'm still thinking that at least in the US, you will have early screening. I don't know. Like last time we were supposed in France to have the world premiere. It was not at all the world premiere, because in the US they did a lot of pre-screening. I don't know. So I'm supposed it will be they will do the same this time, but we'll see. Anyway, another news. We have a new steel from the movie, and I think it's the first official still.
It's the first one I recall hearing about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's from the website Screen Rant, and the photo shows Theseus and Newt, apparently from the cave scene we see in the trailer. It basically looks like a still directly from the trailer. It's nothing new, I guess. And it's probably the scene in the same cave where they are with the crab-like creature and the manticore. So yes, Theseus is holding a lamp and we see a rope in the background. And I don't know, do you have thoughts about what we see there?
I don't have any thoughts about the rope, but I came up with five possibilities for why Theseus is using a lamp instead of using Lumos with a wand. So I'm just going to throw these out and see which one of them sticks. Number one, Theseus's wand got destroyed, which is funny because Jacob just got one. Number two, they're bound by a charm where wand light won't work to protect whatever they're after. Kind of like the charms that keep you from apparating out of the cave where they found the Horcrux. Number three, he dropped it because he clumsy. He cute. But he clumsy. Number four, they're keeping the magic to a minimum because Grindy's minions are trying to track them. Number five, he made fun of Jacob and hurt his feelings, so Newt hid his wand and won't give it back until Theseus learns to appreciate what it's like to live without one.
That's it.
I like that last one best.
Yeah,
Newt trying to
teach
his brother a lesson about making fun of his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Margaline.
No, I was thinking of another theory, which is connected to the one to protect whatever they are after. But maybe it's also maybe too dangerous to use magic for whatever reason, because maybe magic can make some, like, you know, you don't crack fire if you are surrounded by gas or something like that, and you can use magic if you are surrounded by I don't know, a gas from a creature that will explode if you use your magic. I don't know, but yeah,
I actually like that.
That's along the lines of what I was thinking too, that maybe they can't use magic because it'll make the crabs mad or something, like it'll alert them that something's not right.
I have a theory, but it's related to the spoiler that was talked about at the beginning of the last episode.
I think I know which spoiler you're talking about.
So that is all I will say.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I see. Yeah. Maybe.
Can you redact the spoilery parts? You might just be left with, like, prepositions.
If it is what I am thinking, then I think it might be related to your first theory.
Yeah.
That you have there?
Watch, it's going to be nothing. It's going to be just like they didn't think about it and they have him holding a lamp. Like,
yeah. Or to do more Indiana Jones vibe, because holding a lamp in the...
Oh, yeah. No, they're just going for the 30s adventure serial vibe.
So, who knows?
Yeah, but it's good to have at least one still. But I'm surprised we didn't get more after the trailer came out, because usually a trailer will comes with, I don't know, article in the press and with new steals. So, yeah.
I know.
I'm still surprised. We have one trailer, so we can't complain. But I'm still surprised. We have so little. We are already in the middle of January and we have nothing more than the trailer. So, and the poster, but
But not that interesting of a poster.
Watch, we're probably going to end up... No, not a very interesting poster at all. Watch, we're probably going to get more interesting stills between recording this and when it comes out.
Oh, no. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and my Facebook wall is going to be exploding with, oh, my God, did you see these amazing stills with all of your husbands?
Oh, my God, Tila.
And who's that lady that she's standing... Is that Imelda Staunton that she's standing next to?
Wait, why is she wearing a green dress? Is she dressed up as Drizella?
Please.
We are manifesting this into reality.
Manifesting, yes.
So our last piece of news is not directly Fantastic Beasts related, but we are happy to welcome a new podcast in the MuggleNet podcast family. So yay, welcome Promptly Potter.
Yay, welcome.
Woohoo.
So yeah, we have a new podcast, and it's a very interesting format. It's a very short episode, usually under 10 minutes, every other day, which is quite impressive to be able to release so many episodes. Yeah. And it's with rotating hosts covering one chapter of the Potter books by answering one question. So they have a prompt and they have 10 minutes to talk about it. And
wow.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And yeah, it's a good way to flex our critical mind. And they say it's to make accessible the rich analytic discussions the fandom had the last 20 years. And I think it's a really good idea to have this format. And yeah, they start January 1st, so you can already listen at least 10 episodes. So that's great.
And at least one of the episodes that's come out so far is hosted by our own Amy.
Wow!
Yay!
And some of the ones that haven't come out yet might be hosted by somebody else on this episode.
Hintity, hint, hint.
I wonder who it could be.
It's Imelda Staunton.
Wow, and she's everywhere.
She wears the evil stepsister dress while she's recording. You can feel it. It comes across in her tone. Speaking of things coming across, I think you guys might want to make some space on your desk because I think I see some owls coming across our way, and they're going to need landing space here.
I love them.
So we got a couple of answers for Owl Post in our common room to our question from our latest episode. What role do you think the Kirin will play in the plot for the next movie? According to Catherine, I like the theory of it exonerating an innocent person, innocent is in quotes, even if it was potentially captured to portray the sign of a good leader.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's, they get the Kirin for one reason, and maybe the power of the Kirin is used for another reason that it was... Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm just really glad that, like, a beast is there.
Yeah!
Any beast will do.
I was going to say, like, that a beast is relevant to the plot, but, like, I can't even be sure of that yet.
Yeah, let's just be grateful that at least there is a confirmed beast in this movie. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
We had a lot of beasts in the trailer, so
there's a decent amount. Good.
The trailer gave me faith that they read their mail. They understand that the lack of beasts in the second movie was a huge bummer for a lot of people.
It's like there were plenty of beasts in the second movie, but they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, they were just there because their name is in the title, so you can't not have any.
Yeah.
Because it's weird.
Anyway...
We also got a response from Niharika. She said, I think the good leader theory is really interesting. Given we know there's an election for the ICW on, maybe it's used in that process to see who is the better leader, in addition to the vote, maybe if there's a tie. Can't see how this fits in with Grindy having it next to the pool. Maybe he's controlling it somehow because he's controlling one of the candidates.
Ooh.
Yes.
Sort of thing Grindy would do.
Totally.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That raises a question for me. Grindelwald seems to rely very heavily on his charisma and his ability to influence other people, which he's very, very good at, or he wouldn't have gotten this far. Do you think he really feels the need that much to resort to actually controlling people's minds, like with an unforgivable curse or something?
I think he would.
What we see mostly from him is manipulation more than any sort of having to resort to the unforgivables.
I think if he really felt like he needed to, though.
Desperate times.
He'd control someone. And he'd be like, it's for the greater good. Desperate Housewives are in this movie? With Imelda?
Wait, what?
Yes, Imelda Staunton and the cast of Desperate Housewives. No, I remembered a friend of mine, instead of saying desperate times call for desperate measures, they used to say whenever they were stressed out, desperate times call for Desperate Housewives, and then they would binge watch Desperate Housewives until they felt better.
I love that. So.
I'm sure that's what Grindelwald will do.
Oh my gosh, yes. Grindelwald and Dumbledore, Housewives. Can you imagine them as teenagers, like, in the modern age instead of back in the long, long ago? Like, just... kind of hanging out, eating snacks, binge watching Desperate Housewives now and then. Aberforth walks through and Grindelwald leans over and says, "Ugh, why does he have to be here? He's ruining the show."
And Aberforth's like, "I can hear you. I'm just passing through to go pet my goats. Bye."
"You have the ears of a goat."
What does that mean?
I don't know. He's distracted by the show. He's not thinking about clever insults. And also, I can't do Mads Mikkelsen's voice. I can do Johnny Depp's weird... I can do Johnny Depp's weird Grindelwald voice all day. But I have no idea how to be Mads Mikkelsen.
That's fine. We can let Mads Mikkelsen be Mads Mikkelsen. He's good at it.
He'll do it better than me, probably.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the election, we are moving on to our main discussion, which is the International Confederation of Wizards. It seems to be a really, really big plot point in Secrets of Dumbledore. So we're digging more into this governmental bureaucratic organization. I'm sure this is going to be fascinating. So buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this.
Me too.
Yeah, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
No,
I'm like... not. That's my favorite stuff.
Well, so start off with the International Confederation of Wizards is, according to a tweet from JKR from August 8th, 2015, the wizarding equivalent of to the UN. It was already in existence in 1692 when they held a summit to put the Statute of Secrecy into effect and determine what was the responsibility of each country's magical government in upholding it. And at the summit, it was also determined that it was a wizard or witch's right to carry a wand at all times.
Nice.
So right off the bat, the first thing that I'm wondering, because every time you invoke the United Nations, I think of the decision of some people in the United States to withdraw from it. And when I was doing my research for this episode, I realized that you can either withdraw from the United Nations or be expelled from it. So I was wondering if some countries in the non-magical world, since they can leave the United Nations, if you are a country that's in the International Confederation of Wizards and you either withdraw or are expelled, are you still bound by laws like the International Statute of Secrecy?
So I looked because I wasn't sure about what you were speaking of by leaving the United Nations. And to be clear, the U.S. never left the U.N. They left some commission of the U.N., but they never left the...
No, that's true. We didn't actually withdraw from the United Nations, but that was the speech that was being given for a long time. There was a promise that was made that we were going to withdraw from it.
But they did left from some part of the organization, so and went back. So, but yeah, I'm not sure you can leave from the International Confederation of Wizards because its existence is to maintain the Statute of Secrecy, and if it only works if all the wizarding world is bound to it, because if one country decide, okay, I don't care about that, I don't care about the secret, and the rest of the world will say, okay, but we all have to do that together, or it would not work for everyone. So I think if one country decide to leave it and to not respect the Statute of Secrecy, all the other countries will probably declare war to prevent you from breaking the secret. So, yeah.
That sounds very messy. Hopefully that would factor into the decision about whether or not to withdraw.
Yeah, like, not to mention, like, the UN is not really it's more like an advisory council or like a forum to discuss differences more than a law-making body. So
it is too.
That's a huge difference then, because this body is clearly making laws and expecting the whole world to abide by them. Which, if you can imagine muggles in this, especially in these times, trying to agree on laws that the whole world has to follow, I don't see it.
Yeah,
it's like the UN is very like, okay, guys, we're all gonna agree to not commit war crimes. And then the International Confederation is more like, okay, guys, we all agree to keep a secret, which are two very different things.
Yeah, and the UN was also created after the Second World War to say, okay, we will prevent another World War from happening. And for now, they succeeded, so good job. But but yeah,
did they
try to prevent
wars.
Or did
Eurovision succeed? Impossible.
Yeah, probably. But I think it's like the UN can act when decide collectively to act to prevent a conflict or to help resolving a conflict and to condemn crimes against humanity. But the wizarding part is the stakes are such I don't know, it's either you can keep the secret or either the secret is out.
Yeah.
So
I mean, think about it, like what we saw of the International Confederation in the first Fantastic Beasts movie was like, we have to stop Grindelwald because if we don't, he's gonna let Muggles find out about magic. Not we have to stop Grindelwald because he is being a bad person.
And people are dying and he's trying to subjugate
like,
the entire
that
world.
That all sucks, but mainly we need to keep magic secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like they are a much older organization than the UN, obviously. So, yeah, I don't know if, like, does the International Confederation step in if two wizarding countries, you know, are going to go to war. I don't know.
How often does that come up, do you think?
I don't know. So many questions.
We learn about like goblin rebellions, giant wars, so it seems more like the wars that you hear about in history of magic are between wizards and other magical creatures that wizards are not good about being nice to.
Yeah, and we don't really hear much about wizard versus wizard conflict.
I mean, you gotta think wizard versus wizard conflict would always bleed over into Muggle versus Muggle conflict.
Hmm. That's true. And like the wizarding population is so small that I feel like there really can't be any kind of large scale conflicts like we're thinking of as far as like wars go. It would mostly be like pretty individual cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was my one of my points later in the discussion, but I think it can fit there. It's why if Grindelwald is running for the ICW, that's such a big thing because that's his whole program to say the statutes of secrecy need to be over and to try to be elected to this organization, which is the reason of this organization is the statute of secrecy. That's, I don't know if it's the first time it happened, but it maybe is. If Grindelwald is considered like the most important wizard who kind of I don't know, make the wizarding world the most I don't know if it almost destroyed the wizarding world or make it open to the world or,
When you made that point, I was thinking, how exactly does he even arrange, I would imagine this is part of the movie, but how exactly does he work it out to where he can even run for this office and he's not being arrested? Because he was in jail. He was being transported. He broke out and presumably somebody has been looking for him ever since. So
he escaped from like the International Confederation, essentially, because they were the ones who were like, take him to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now he's going to take a shot at becoming their leader, so they're just going to pardon him? Is that how it's going to work?
Or I guess if he gets elected, he can pardon himself.
Or I wonder if he had somebody else kind of take the fall for him. He, like, framed Abernathy or framed be like, oh, all those things that it was actually Abernathy wearing my face. That's
it
a thing.
It was Abernathy all along. Wink.
Skansen's not quite right, but I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Abernathy actor's not going to be in it, so then you could just get away with that.
Yeah.
Imagine an elected official who actually goes out in front of people and says he has the authority to pardon himself.
I wonder seems unbelievable.
What that sounds like. Actually, I could be referring to a couple of different people these days.
Yeah.
It's an insult to Grindelwald, honestly. He's such a clever guy.
If we go again to the Hitler comparison, he went to jail before getting elected. So it happened.
Well,
and it only helped to further his cause.
Yeah, that's
but
why
he didn't break out of jail.
No, yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I could definitely see a situation where it's like Grindelwald's physically like keeping on the down low because he doesn't want to get arrested, but he's still running.
He's still campaigning.
And it's like, they were mean to me and I'm innocent and you should elect me.
But I'm not mad at them. I pity them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if we go back to this statute of secrecy and the way the International Confederation of Wizards may work, I think that's the weakness of the way the politics is run in the wizarding world. Because if you have this big thing, the statute of secrecy, that an organization that is that you can't leave if we all agree that if you leave, it's war against you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a democracy. And I think Grindelwald can use that, saying the statute of secrecy imposed a dictature to all of the wizarding world, and I'm for freedom. So, and the only way to change that is to take over this dictatorial organization that is the International Confederation of Wizards. So, I don't know. I'm trying to... I sound like I'm doing Grindelwald's speech, but I can see how it can work on people to take that view. But,
yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you're making very good points. It's easy for people to get there.
Yeah.
We have so much more to talk about. We got so distracted about the plot of the movie.
Well, that's why we're talking about this.
I know.
Yeah.
In Chamber of Secrets, there's also, and Order of the Phoenix, there's a reference to the International Confederation of Warlocks. HP Lexicon says that the most likely reason for that is that the author just forgot what she had named the Confederation previously and called it something else and then kind of switched back and forth. But the explanation of the lexicon that I really liked was, quote, "The International Confederation of Warlocks was the archaic name for this organization, and it subsequently changed its name to the International Confederation of Wizards. We know there was an international warlock convention in 1289, and that is in Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 9. So it's possible that the International Confederation of Warlocks was formed around that time and later changed the warlock part of its title to Wizards sometime before 1692 when the International Statute of Secrecy was passed by the ICW.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
From what I could tell, I looked this up to make sure I wasn't confusing it with something else, but apparently the term warlock is a lot more aggressive because it's associated more with the use of things like dark magic and people who like to use a warlock is, I think, a wizard who is particularly good at fighting and battling, and there isn't nearly as much need for that with magic in this universe anymore. So it seems like a good political move to change the name of the organization from something that sounds like they're constantly ready for battle to something that focuses a little bit more on cooperation. But it's still, I mean, we called it the wizarding world. And, you know, as far as I could tell, wizards are male-identifying people, witches are female-identifying people. Not necessarily so in the real world, but in this universe, that seems to be the way it works. So the name still kind of excludes female-identifying people. So I threw out a couple of suggestions for maybe not as catchy as International Confederation of Wizards, but I threw out some suggestions that could be a little bit more inclusive because that feels like something that they would probably do in 2022. I had the International Confederation of Magic, the International Magic Confederation, and the International Confederation of Magic Practitioners.
I like the first one, the International Confederation of Magic.
I think the first one makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the first one was the most straightforward. I was trying to keep the word confederation in there because that's exactly what the organization is. So I couldn't lose that word, but I just thought if I can't find a word for a magic user that's more inclusive than wizard, then I'm just going to make it focus on the magic rather than who's using it.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because, like, yeah, outside of Harry Potter, wizard and witch can both be used for any gender, but witch is definitely more associated with women just because of, like, you know, witch trials and stuff. But I think warlock is a lot more male associated.
Yeah.
So sorcerer.
And then you
sorcerer
have a,
is pretty
like
gender
that.
Neutral. But that's a very, like, that feels loaded kind of in a warlocky way.
Yeah, and then you have a sorcerer, you have a conjurer, you have mage.
Arcanist. I mean,
there's a lot of different words for what it is, but what they all seem to have in common is it's not what you call them, it's what they're doing, and that's
that
they're able to use magic.
Yeah.
And
it is weird that they do still call themselves the International Confederation of Wizards, considering that in the scene with the International Confederation of Wizards we see in Fantastic Beasts, like, the main person who speaks is Gemma Chan, who's a woman.
Yeah.
So
I
hope they do change it to the International Confederation of Magic. I like that.
Yeah. New head canon. That's what they're doing.
So the first head of the ICW Supreme Mugwump, was Pierre Bonacord. He was a French wizard who wanted to ban troll hunting and grant full rights to trolls. I didn't put this in the doc, but it is included in the wiki that this caused problems with Liechtenstein, who was having some severe troll problems, so as a result, they refused to join the ICW initially.
They mentioned that in Order of the Phoenix during the History of Magic, OWL.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, good what rights?
I don't know if you... I guess you can guess for the name, but bon accord means good deal.
Fascinating.
So yeah, I don't know if it was really a good deal to have this this love for trolls, but
this troll hugger.
But yeah, I looked because I remember from the Fantastic Beasts book that they also had this kind of debate for a long time. If they, you know, to in the Fantastic Beasts book, it was what is a creature and what is a being, and the difference between being and creature. And at some point, they make a definition that included trolls. And I think it was the goblin who bring the trolls into the meetings, because they said, okay, your definition include trolls, so we will help the trolls learn few words, and they can speak your language now, so you have to include them, and the trolls just made a chaos in the meeting, so they had to change the definition to not include trolls, but
behold, a man.
Yep.
I couldn't help wondering. They said he wanted to grant full rights to troll. What rights do you want to give them? The ability to own their own land? Are you going to give them employment benefits?
I mean, the big
because
thing
I know
is
security
always,
trolls are a thing.
The big
do trolls
thing is
need
always
money?
Giving them wands.
Yeah. Right?
Can trolls do magic?
Maybe.
Do trolls have magic? Or is it like Jacob
they must
Kowalski's
be magical,
wand?
Since they're part of the magical world.
Yeah, they're magical creatures, so
Well, but yeah, but creatures can have magical properties without being able to wield the same kind of magic that requires a wand. Like, we know goblins want to be able to carry wands and they're not allowed to.
Still, so I would think, like, whether trolls could, like, you know, fully consciously wield magic or not, they could cause some damage with a wand.
Oh, definitely. You're putting a nuclear weapon into the hand of a troll. Like, that's a problem.
Yeah, it'd be like...
That's assuming they have the kind of magical power that can be channeled through a wand, which we don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the actual book, and there's no mention that they're able to do any kind of magic.
Yeah, and I guess it was the main problem... from the proposition of Pierre Bonaccord to give full rights, because the first thing they decided in the ICW is to the right to hold a wand. So that I guess that was Pierre was expecting to give trolls wands, and I have no idea why.
I imagine this was the same debate they were having.
Yeah.
Why, Pierre?
But Pierre, we don't... Fleet, again, what?
And why he was elected Supreme Mongwomp? If he was, okay, my first politics will be to give wands to trolls.
What if, like, he ran on something completely different?
And then he was like...
JK, yeah. I love trolls.
Well, in those days, it was pretty common for leaders to be given positions of power, not necessarily because they earned them or deserved them, but because of where they came from or who they knew. So he may have come from a very wealthy or very powerful family, and they said, okay, we're going to put one of our own in the hot seat because we arrange things behind the scenes because that's how the world works. Oh, hey, Pierre, come here. Yeah, you're going to be this mugwump thing. Don't worry about what it is. Just go with it.
But he's the first, so I guess he was part of the discussion around the Statute of Secrecy, because if he's the first, they are the group who created that. So yeah. It's really weird that the guy who was part of the Statute of Secrecy decision was also the one who say, oh, yes, and to keep Statute of Secrecy safe, we will give wands to troll. That's the best idea.
That's if he was that's the weird. First, he might not have even been elected.
But that's my point, is that he wasn't necessarily the most qualified for the job, but he was in the most advantageous position to take it. If the first thing you're going to do as the head of an organization devoted to keeping this whole world secret is try to do something that is going to expose the secret, then clearly you have not read your job description that carefully.
Yeah.
He just thought
trolls I say he came from a rich and powerful family and they got their way.
I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Is this... Well, we don't necessarily know that the International Confederation of Wizards was formed to create the Statute of Secrecy. It was actually extant before that, so it may have been... This may have been hundreds of years before the Statute of Secrecy was a thing.
Right, because the Statute of Secrecy was 1692, but it must have been on at least a few people's minds for a while before it happened.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't know why, but I connected the International Confederation of Wizard Creation with the Statute of Secrecy, but no, that's two different times.
I think it's because earlier in the episode we said something about how that's the main purpose of this organization now is to
the main purpose of it.
Okay. But still, that's quite a gap. That's a gap of about 400 years between Pierre Bonaccord and the Statute of Secrecy.
Yeah, so maybe his goal was his best friend was a troll. And he was like, no, you guys, you don't understand. Dennis is different.
Dennis the troll.
Well, anyway, so moving on from Pierre to Albus Dumbledore. He held the position of Supreme Mugwump from, quote, sometime before 1991, per the HP Wiki, and was dismissed from the position and the Confederation in May 1995 after the Ministry denied Voldemort's return. He was reinstated after the Ministry acknowledged Voldemort's return, but not returned to the position of Supreme Mugwump.
So, yeah, this information comes from the card in the Chocolate Frog.
Mm-hmm.
And But I'm confused. How can you be Supreme Mongwomp and Handmaster of the one of the most important wizarding schools at the same time? It sounds like two full-time jobs. I don't know how you could do both at the same time. But
I guess it must not be two full-time jobs.
I mean, and let's not act like Dumbledore was always Johnny on the spot with the headmaster duties. He was always gotta go do stuff.
Yeah, I guess, probably.
So he probably had a proxy. A lot of things. It's pretty common when you have a big job like that that might have some small day-to-day responsibilities and then some larger responsibilities. You do the big stuff since you carry the title, like important meetings that he has to preside over, he'll do that. Or if he has to be a liaison to somebody for some important treaty that's being discussed, he could probably do that. But as far as the day-to-day operations of the ICW, he probably has a proxy for that, because I would imagine that especially if your Supreme Mugwump is somebody with a reputation of Dumbledore, then he's probably going to have no shortage of people who are willing to do jobs for him.
I wonder if there's even that much day-to-day operations, because it seems like individual wizarding governments more handle like stuff that's happening in their country and like, you know, stuff that's going to threaten the statue of secrecy in their country. And then the Confederation steps in for like Grindelwald is going all over the world. And in the olden days, politicians also had real jobs.
What?
Yeah, they had like a real job. And then it was like, I'm a politician on the side.
Yeah.
So
now it's like they're a politician on the side and their job is just being privileged white guys.
Now it's like they were a lawyer and now they're a politician. Like, okay.
Yeah,
it does seem odd though that he does both.
It sounded like you were about to introduce a sitcom. He was a lawyer. Now he's a politician. And his best friend is a talking dog.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, same.
Especially if he was a lawyer, wizard, politician. And he just also happens to have a talking dog. Like, no, it's not a magic dog. He just talks.
He just talks.
It's a dog-eat-dog world on Beagle of the House, coming to Fox this fall. We just pitched a sitcom, you guys. We're doing good.
I know.
We're killing it today. We are killing it today.
What is a mugwump? That's a fun word.
We will get there.
Yeah, we got to cover a few more.
We got a couple more bits about the Supreme Mugwump before we get into the etymology of the word. And just there's going to be so many words that I'm going to butcher in this, so I'm going to apologize in advance to anyone who's listening who knows how to pronounce these things. Please email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com and tell me the right way to pronounce these things. I will do a corrections corner in a future episode.
Yeah, I was about to call the Pierre Bonaccord, but not the other one.
So, the person who followed Dumbledore as Supreme Mugwump in 1995 is an African wizard named Babajide Akinbade. I'm going to spell that. That's B-A-B-A-J-I-D-E, first name. Last name, A-K-I-N-G-B-A-D-E.
That's a really beautiful name.
And that's all we know about him is that. He's from Africa, and he followed Dumbledore's Supreme Mugwump. We don't know from where in Africa. We don't know if he's still in the Supreme Mugwump. We just know his name.
It's a good name.
It is. Good for him.
And the head of the ICW in 1927-ish, because again, we don't know the exact year this is happening, but he has not yet been given a name, but according to the again, the Harry Potter wiki, he's rumored to be named Vogel.
So it's even German, it's Vogel.
Vogel.
Yeah. Vogel.
And it means bird.
In German. Oh, interesting.
I just remember a lot of things from my German lessons, but Vogel, I definitely remember it's bird.
And this guy's a German actor, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oliver.
He'll play like Oliver Masucci.
He looks like Mads Mikkelsen.
Totally.
I'm seeing a picture right here that's just a picture of the two of them. I'm like, that's the same man.
So he's what you're saying is he's handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also my first thought when I saw Oliver Masucci. And first I was thinking, oh, that must be connected to the plot. They are so they look so similar that it must be. But now that we know that Grindelwald is running the election for the Monkwomp position, I'm not sure. But
how wild would it be if it was just like, oh, and also Grindelwald's brother is the head of the ICW?
Yeah. What?
Like this whole time. What? It's a movie about brothers.
Yeah, I don't know, a brother of a cousin, or a cousin, I don't know, somebody. But I was pretty sure the two of them will have a previous relationship. I don't know if they were in school together or something
like
that.
They were lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We just find out that Grindelwald just, like, slept his way through half Europe.
That's why they all want to arrest him so much.
It's not because he did crimes, it's because he didn't text them back.
He did two crimes. He didn't text me back.
He did crimes of the heart.
Can you just imagine Grindelwald sitting in a jail cell and this endless succession of wizards walking up to his bar saying, "Did you get my text? Because you didn't text me back."
I do hope these two have a scene together, though. I feel like it would be really good.
Yes.
Yeah. And they could just, like, speak German.
Yeah,
I don't need to know
and
what
no,
saying.
No subtitles. They're just like, if you don't speak German, you are out of luck. Sorry.
We don't need subtitles. You'll get the spirit of what's going on.
All right. Well, Jeff, to answer your question, again from the HP Wiki, the term Mugwump may be derived from the Mugwumps, a group of 19th-century American politicians who were against political corruption. And again, I'm going to butcher this. I'm so sorry. I looked up how to pronounce it, but I don't know if it's accurate. So please, please write in if you know how to pronounce it. That term comes from the Omami Winini, which is the tribal name for the Algonquin tribe, word Mugwump, meaning person of importance or war leader. There was also a group of British pacifists who joined the Labour Party after World War I who were called Mugwumps. There is an old English word spelled the same, mugwump, which is, quote, a derogatory word for somebody in charge who affects to be above petty squabbles and factions. Hmm. And that last quote in there is from Mental Floss.
It's funny, like, how close it is to muggle, but it means, it is, like, the opposite.
The opposite, yes.
I was thinking the mugwumps, I checked. As far as I can tell, there is no wizard rock band named the Mugwumps. Which is interesting, because given what this word actually means, and given how political a lot of wizard rock gets, especially now, you would think that it would be out there, but apparently there was a folk rock band in the 60s called the Mugwumps.
Huh!
Hmm. And I was wondering, is the word Mugwump is known in English, or did you discover it with Harry Potter?
Definitely. This was the first time I came across it was in Harry Potter.
I was sure that this was a made-up word. I didn't even bother checking.
Yeah, I because was I never heard sure. about this. I never heard about this word before. But actually, the French translator decided to change the word and to make it the Manitou Supreme. And Manitou actually is also from the Algonquin. But it's a word that is known. I mean, if you say Grand Manitou in France, you know what it means.
Sure.
And originally for the Algonquin, the Manitou is a word used to talk about a person or an object with supernatural powers. And the Grand Manitou in French is used to talk about a leader of some sort, like the Grand Manitou of, I don't know, an area or something, a subject, is somebody really respected and the great leader of this subject. So, yeah.
So, what do they call Doctor Strange or the Sorcerer Supreme in France? Do they call him the Grand Manitou?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know Marvel enough. But,
I'm going to look that up. Well, I'm going to look that up in a minute because I have to keep talking about the ICW.
Yeah, let's look it up
but
after.
I think it's just the Sorcier Supreme, so the Sorceress Supreme, but
yeah.
That rolls off the tongue very nice, you know?
The ICW has an educational office that registers magical schools. They have to approve schools, and presumably schools have to prove and maintain a certain standard of education to continue to be registered with the ICW. Pottermore had an article on wizarding schools and, quote, anyone wishing to know whether there is an approved magical school in their region should address an OWL inquiry to the International Confederation of Wizards Educational Office. And look, Jeff, it looks like you had a question about...
I did, and then it looks like you disproved my question.
Okay, well...
Based on that description, it seemed to me that it was suggestive that every country with a magical school in it is in the International Confederation of Wizards, which might explain why there isn't more of them. And per my earlier question, I was wondering if a country withdrew from the ICW or was expelled from it, and they had a registered magic school, would it have to close?
And the answer to that is no. They, in the same article in Pottermore, it talks about how there's lots of kind of fly-by-night unregistered magical schools.
That makes sense.
So if a country did withdraw or drop out of the ICW, then the school would just become unregistered.
So then I wonder if, to some people, that might hurt your school's reputation if you were part of the ICW and then suddenly you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
or
again,
is it more
like
public versus private schools?
Mm.
Yeah, I think the from what we said earlier, I think the schools will not be the biggest problem of a country leaving the ICW, but yeah, I think you're right about the reputation, or maybe on the contrary, if some wizard or not doesn't agree with the criteria or what the I don't know, maybe the rules to have this label from the ICW is really, I don't know, debated among some wizards.
Sure.
And so some families will choose another non-registered magical school because they will have another type of education.
I would really imagine that, like, there's gotta be a ton of magical schools out there that are just like, well, I can't get to Scotland, so... I'm just going to start a school for the kids in my town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there is no way that... The Ilvermorny might be the only registered school in the U.S., but there's no way it's the only wizarding school in the U.S.
We got a big country.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's... You know, this... It seems like, you know, like the Hogwarts Express is free. So it seems like maybe Ilvermorny would have some sort of, like, free transportation. But still, you got to think, not everyone can... make it out as easily. And yeah, there are probably parents who are like, well, I don't like Ilvermorny, so...
Yeah, there are definitely schools out there that are like, well, I think the ICW is just a bunch of blowhards that are trying to dictate my life.
And yeah, maybe probably. They're right. I don't... Yeah, it's interesting.
There is also a Quidditch committee that is in charge of finding venues, hiring referees, and arranging for security and transportation for international Quidditch games, like the World Cup. It was formed after the International Confederation of Wizards determined that the Quidditch World Cups would be too big of a threat of exposure to muggles. However, following protests, the International Confederation of Wizards Quidditch Committee was formed to handle the logistics of it.
Yeah. Again, that adds to the statute of secrecy focused on the organization, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And these committees do feel more like, you know, committees are probably doing more work that the Supreme Mugwump
isn't
involved in.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I very much doubt that Dumbledore was involved with any part of the... Quidditch World Cup in 94, even though he would have been Supreme Mugwump when it was going on.
Yeah, he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
In the finals, so.
It's true.
So let me make sure that I'm just understanding, because something about the phrasing here was a little bit confusing to me. So the ICW said that they couldn't do Quidditch World Cups because they would be too much of a threat, and then that's what the protests were about, which is why they formed the Quidditch Committee.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there were huge protests and like riots after they said there wouldn't be Quidditch World Cups anymore.
I can that's imagine. God, can you imagine if they were like, we're not going to have the Super Bowl anymore? Like, America would crumble.
Seriously. What about the commercials?
I'd, like, be afraid to leave my home. I'm already afraid to leave my home, but, you know.
But for different reasons than besides pandemic.
I'd be more worried if they canceled the college football bowl games, because I live in Kentucky, and we don't have an NFL league here, but we do have two very popular college football teams.
Oof.
Or, like, what if they canceled, what if they were, like, no more World Cups?
Oh, like, no.
We'd go to World War.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about canceling a sport that the entire world cares about, not just us.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, moving on. In 1974, Royston Idlewild, then the head of the International Confederation Quidditch Committee, he was a former Australian Quidditch player, he banned wands from the World Cup. Which was Syria versus Madagascar. So there's a whole ton of backstory on Royston Idlewild that I'd not get into here, but let's just boil it down to that as far as Quidditch World Cups go, he was felt much like Randall from Clerks, and that he felt that Quidditch would be great if it weren't for the effing spectators.
Bless you for making a Kevin Smith reference here. Preach.
People threatened to boycott, but to quote Pottermore, as empty stands for Idlewild's secret ambition, their strategy never stood a chance.
I love it.
This is a Harry had a wand at the Quidditch World Cup and it kind of got stolen, and that was kind of a big plot point. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe Royston Idlewild had the right idea.
He's got a cool name too. There are some great names coming up here.
Just saying, people get drunk at these events and, you know, yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have a tiny nuclear weapon in your hand when you're drunk.
Maybe there should be more rules about kids having wands.
Sure.
About everyone having wands.
Maybe.
But then I guess they'd just be doing, like, more uncontrolled bursts of magic. It's a balance that cannot be found.
The Statute of Secrecy Task Force was formed by Constance Pickering in response to the Calamity in 2018 and recruited witches and wizards to keep muggles from noticing outbreaks of magic. You may recognize that as the plot of the video game Wizards Unite.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But apparently it is canon, so we're talking about it.
So is this magical Interpol?
Yeah. This, I don't think, is magical Interpol. I think...
No.
Yeah, it's not.
Magical Interpol is... the International Wizarding Police.
Okay.
I can't believe it's just called the International Wizarding Police.
That sounds
bad.
Well,
and here's the thing that they talk about. I'll finish the sentence, okay. Then I'll circle back to that. So the International Wizarding Police is possibly the law enforcement arm of the International Confederation of Wizards. Rudolf Spielmann served as head of incarceration for it, pursuing criminals who were wanted in more than one country. But here's the thing about calling it the International Wizarding Police. If that's a thing... Why does Amos Diggory not know what policemen are in Goblet of Fire? If he, like, works for the government, which presumably would have worked with the international wizard cops at some point.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe it's the police, but they are not called policemen. I don't know.
Also, it's in the Daily Prophet in Chamber of Secrets. Snape says that one of the muggles who saw the flying car, quote, reported to police. So I think what that suggests is that some people are just aware of certain terms and some people aren't. Amos Diggory probably doesn't pay much attention to the non-magical world or the world of politics outside of the office that he works in.
I could see Amos never having to work with the wizarding police, the wizard cops.
Let's face it, once he became a dad, the only thing he cared about was his perfect son.
Understandable. But Cedric is precious.
He is.
It's still silly that they're just called the wizarding police. Like, everything else
is very,
like,
silly.
The task force, and, like, the committee and the International Confederation. And this is just like, we're the wizard cops.
Freeze.
I think this is a tangent, but my friend and I, we watch every Pixar movie once a year. Oh my god, we gotta do that. We do it in January, February. But in The Incredibles, and near the beginning, when Mr. Incredible and Frozone are in the burning building, and then they fall into the jewelry store, they're rescuing people. People know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police show up, and the police just, like, bang down the door and yell, "Police officers!" Like, they don't yell, you know, NYPD, because there's not a name for this city. So they just yell police officer. It's very funny to me. Anyway, wizard cops.
Bang, 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 wizard cops! Bang, bang, bang!
I was thinking of, do you guys, Potter Puppet Pals, do you remember Wizard Swears?
Yes.
Yes!
When they prank call Voldemort. And he says, "If I ever find out who did this, I will call the wizard police, and you will go to wizard jail, and I'll kill you, because I'm Lord Voldemort."
Then stop calling me! Oh, so perfect. Good. Anyway. So Voldemort knows about the wizard police, yes. But Amos Diggory doesn't.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's just a mistake from Rowling forgetting that she used the word.
Rowling making a mistake.
Yeah, it happens.
So my final point here about the International Confederation of Wizards is about Rappaport's Law, which is the law in the U.S. that completely segregates wizards from nomadges. It was established in 1790 following a serious breach of the Statute of Secrecy by Dorcas Twelve Trees, daughter of the Keeper of Treasure and Draggets. The ICW severely censured Emily Rappaport, the then president of MACUSA, leading her to create the law.
Dorcas Twelve Trees, the best name saved for last.
yeah, but this thing reminds the pressure that the ICW can put on the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because this is a law that only exists in the U.S., but was created because of the ICW.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the ICW when something happened in the country say, "Listen, if you can't manage to maintain the statute of secrecy, you have to do something. You have to drop the democratic law and put a very hard controlled system for your country." So yeah, I'm more and more convinced that the ICW is a problem for democracy, but
yeah,
I mean,
I feel like it's a good thing to have, like, you know, a United Nations type thing, but like in real life, I feel like sometimes the United Nations is not helpful. Yeah. Feel like the ICW is not always being helpful.
Doubt it.
Yeah, but I don't know how else they can manage the statute of secrecy, to be honest, because I think that's the main reason why all of the politics in the wizarding world are difficult and probably not democratic on most of the countries, because mm-hmm. when you have to maintain this secret, you can't it's the main thing you have to worry about.
I feel like the lesson is really just like there shouldn't be a statue of secrecy. Like, you just need to come out from but underground.
We turn to Grindelwald. That's horrible.
Oh no!
No, but not like that.
We just need to do exactly what Grindelwald wants to do, but not like Grindelwald.
So
everybody's equal.
So, like, maybe we don't kill anybody? Like, maybe we just talk to them.
It's like the end of Black Panther. When T'Challa's like, "Hey, you know what? Wakanda exists. We've got all this cool technology. We think maybe it's time that we come out from the shadows."
Like, Grindelwald is just standing on a basketball court in New York, and he's like, I have purchased that building there, and that building over there, and that one over there. We're going to start an outreach center, and then a child just walks up to him and says, hey, mister, who are you? And he gives that creepy Grindelwald smile that I know he has, and he's definitely going to break out in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's definitely for sure what's going to happen.
You cracked it.
That's it.
That's the end of Secrets of Dumbledore right there.
Wow.
That's after they've defeated Imelda Staunton and Emma Thompson.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah. I don't know what their evil plan is, but they definitely have one.
I mean, their evil plan is to dethrone the prince and princess of France because they're still salty about the fact that she got the glass slipper and they didn't.
They'll get hold of the fairy godmother's wand and undo everything that's been done. Oh, wait, that's... No, that's never happened.
That's the first Descendants movie.
Yeah, that's definitely never for sure happened, especially not in the third Cinderella movie.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, that's the International Confederation of Wizards before we go into how this is actually a Descendants podcast. Do either any of you have any thoughts about the ICW before we wrap it up?
This is going to be so much more interesting than anything on C-SPAN.
I'm really excited to see this plot. I'm really interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited for us to go more in depth into the election system for the ICW because I think it's another topic that we need to cover because, yeah, now that we have the context, how can you have a democratic election for this organization? I'm curious.
Yeah.
I mean, is there, you know...
Probably not, but
it can't be every individual wizard votes. Like, that would be impossible. So
I don't know. Maybe, yeah. But that's a topic for another day. But yeah.
There's an electoral
college. Yeah, don't worry. That's on the future episodes list. We'll get there.
Well, that was the main discussion. Thank you, Anne, for all your notes. Now we're going to move into... Battle of the Beasts.
Battle of the Beasts. Beasts. Beasts.
Pew, 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 pew. Bow, so, bow, bow, bow. This is me versus Jeff.
Hi.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And on the count of three, so one of you guys is going to need to count three for us. We're each going to say our beast. And then we each get 1 minute to present our beast and why they would win. And then we each get 1 minute rebuttal. Okay.
Marjolaine, why don't you count down? I'll be the timer.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Zawu.
Centaurs. What did you say?
I said Zawu.
I said centaurs.
Oh, interesting. All right. Shannon, you've got your 1 minute starts now.
Okay. Centaurs can use tools. So they've got weapons. They're very smart. They could probably look up at the stars and be like, a Zawu's gonna come through the area in 3 days. Except they'd be really cryptic about it. But, you know, they'd know what they're talking about, you know? We've seen that they're very adept at, like, capturing humans. I bet they could capture Zawu. Like, it'd probably be a little bit more difficult for them, but I think they could do that. You know, I think they could kill a Zawu if they wanted. I don't want to kill a Zawu, but, like, I think it'd be possible. Because they can use bows and arrows and swords and stuff. Tools. That's my argument.
You still got 10 seconds.
Centaurs rule.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for that riveting argument. Yeah. Jeff, your minute starts now.
Zawus have a name that's really fun to say. It's really cool sounding. They're an amazing mode of transportation because they can travel up to 1,000 miles per day and they have the ability to apparate. So as long as you and your Zawu have an understanding and you aren't making them a beast of burden, it's better than a broom. Despite their size and appearance, they've got giant fangs. They can be easily calmed with a jingly toy, so easily mollified if things get bad. It's advantageous to befriend them and cooperate with them because they pose a significant risk to the International Statute of Secrecy if you leave them up to their own devices. Once you gain Azawu's trust, they can be friendly and faithful companions. Imagine the snuggles that you would get, giving them scratches behind the ears and just burying your face in their fuzz while they purr at you. Be like sleeping on a giant, furry, vibrating mattress. That would be fun. And also, it's a big kitty. Look at their eyes.
10 seconds.
A centaur is never going to look at you with love the way a Zawu does. That's everything I have. Cats rule. Centaurs drool.
Okay. Shannon, your rebuttal. 1 minute, starting now.
I mean, that's very much an argument of just, like, Zawus are cuter, which is fair, but just, like, centaurs could adopt a Zawu, and it would be like, this is my pet, because centaurs are, like, so much cooler. And can you imagine? I mean, I think the end of this is Zawus and centaurs teaming up would be so powerful. Can you imagine you're in the Forbidden Forest and you see centaurs in the distance and then you see a Zawu amongst them? Centaurs are cool. I think it's pretty cool that they chose to be beasts and not beings because they were like, beings suck and have their stupid politics. I think it's pretty neat to be half horse. Horses are cool. Horses are totally cooler than cats. Like, cats are cuddly and stuff, but horses are very smart, and they can take you places.
Jeff, your rebuttal starts now.
Okay, first of all, centaurs can be haters, and according to a certain musical philosopher, they're going to hate. You can't reason with a centaur with a jingly toy the way you can a Zawu. You have to reason with them using logic and words because they can communicate. And because they are a race apart and proud to be so, it's going to be so much more difficult to get a centaur to stop looking at the stars and look at you to focus long enough to actually reason with them. Because they get distracted by the stars and they're more interested in whether or not Mars is bright tonight than whether or not you may have something to offer each other. They've gone to great lengths to preserve their land and protect it, which is admirable. But they also refuse to allow Hogwarts employees to come into the forest to do important business that benefits everybody, not just them. So they sound kind of selfish to me. And you...
10 seconds.
Centaurs are aggressive and they won't cooperate with wizards, so you're never going to get a centaur on your side like Nationwide Insurance.
Thank you, Jeff. So y'all realize at this point was supposed to be who would win in a fight, right?
Yeah.
That's how I started.
Yeah.
Should we do it over again?
I was confused. No, I think that was
that was so good.
That was fun. That you refused to send your Zawu to a fight. That was cute.
So, Marjolaine, who do you think would win in a fight?
I'm gonna be honest that, like, when Jeff said Zawu, I was like, they would be a pretty good match.
Yeah. They're faster than centaurs and they're bigger.
Yeah, I like the idea of the centaurs adapting Zawu and making them they ally. So I like, just for this this idea, I'm more like the centaurs will win by knowing how to train a Zawu, or to not train them but to make them ally to them. So I give it to the centaur, but because they are hunters, so I guess they can hunt a Zawu. But yeah, I'd still vote for the centaurs.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for centaurs as well, because as Jeff pointed out, Zawus are basically gigantic cats, so it's unsportsmanlike to distract your opponent with a jingly toy and then him in the chest, but if that's what you got to do to win, that's what you got to do to win.
Oh, but it's sportsmanlike to point at the stars and say, hey, look up there.
Well, yes. Would the Zawu do that, though? Because if the Zawu would do that, then sure, maybe the Zawu has a fighting chance. But as it stands, I think the centaur is going to take it.
I wonder if, like, centaurs and Zoos ever encounter each other.
Well, are there centaurs in China? That's where most of the Zoos are. Yeah,
basically, that's the question.
Yeah.
I wonder
if there are Chinese centaurs, like if there are some sort of centaurs in Chinese history and mythology.
I never heard of that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see anything. But, you know, maybe.
So, I have lost.
Anyway. I think they'd get along. Well, I don't think they'd get along, but...
The whole point of centaurs is that they don't get along with other creatures, and they're kind of content with that arrangement.
I think
they can't get along with creatures. It's just with humans that they have a problem.
Yeah, I think centaurs could adopt a Zoo and, like, respect it, but not think of it as, like, an equal. But they would treat it well.
Yeah, no, if a Zoo did end up with centaurs, it would live a very happy life.
Yeah. All right. That was the Battle of the Beasts.
That was a Battle of the Beasts for sure.
So now that Jeff has been understandably defeated in the Battle of the Beasts, well done, Shannon. We both missed the point of the assignment, and yet you won notwithstanding, so very impressive.
It was close.
It was close, but you did very well. So now we'll move on to our podcast question of the week. Since we spent a lot of time talking about the International Statute of Secrecy today, we want to know what you think. Do you think the International Statute of Secrecy is worth protecting, or should we dissolve it? We would love to hear from you. So drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or you can email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because that does help us out, and we'd love to read them.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, on Facebook and on facebook.com/speakbeastie, on Tumblr, speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. Every month you can receive cool stickers from us, and also exclusive Patreon content that we try to put on Patreon very, I forgot the word.
Yeah, it goes out there pretty regularly. Yeah. We try to get it out. Usually there's something maybe every a couple weeks. Yeah. And like I know Shannon just released a fantastic D&D character chart for Newt. Like I read it and it's such a good build.
Yeah, and I'm going to do at least the other core four. Maybe I'll just keep doing more characters. It's fun. Newt I felt like was really easy though. I think I'm going to have more trouble with the others.
And, like, I'm just going to put this out there. Once you're done with all those character sheets, like, I will hire a DM and we will do a one-shot campaign with these characters. I think that would be amazing. So, gotta get on the Patreon to get that extremely cool content of us playing D&D.
Yeah. Maybe one of our patrons is a DM. Hit us up.
Yeah, holler. Speakbeastie@gmail.com. I'll pay you.
I mean, I DM, but, like, I would want to play this.
And did we talk about the idea that you and I had that we were going to do?
We have not discussed it any further because I was out of town, but yeah, go ahead and bring it up.
Because I think you and I should record that very soon.
Agreed.
So Anne and I, if you listen back a couple of episodes, we had a brainstorm when we realized that Theseus Scamander is essentially the Captain America of this Newt squad. So Anne and I had the idea that since Theseus is Captain America, we should take the rest of the Fantastic Beasts characters and figure out which Marvel hero they are.
Cool.
Nice.
If you guys have thoughts about that, you can like DM them to us, because that would be, even if we don't agree, it would be really fun for us to talk about. I think it'll be a fun segment.
Yeah.
Yes. And that wraps up this week's episode of Speak Beastie. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm Anne.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Marjolaine.
And I'm Shannon. Case closed.